Yes, welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. My name's Sam Hart, taking you through the weekend's action alongside a stellar panel, as always. From the tipping team this week, we have Robbie Wilders and Graham Robway. And from Unibet, we have Mr. Ed Nicholson. Ed, a great weekend last weekend. It was a viewers will know you and G-Rod persuaded me to head to Epsom on Saturday, and it was well worth it. It was City of Troy putting up a spectacular performance.
Yes, and we all said, didn't we, that we wanted a good horse to win in a stunning way. And we saw a good horse win in a stunning way, which just makes the whole of the summer really exciting now to see how good this City of Troy can get. And we all dissed him. We all said he didn't have the form and he'd let himself down in the guineas, and what an amazing piece of training it would be to get him back. And he won really easy, didn't he, really? So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how he progresses over the next 2 or 3 months. Interesting to see whether he goes to dirt, the Travers, which was all the vibes at Epsom on the day. I spoke to a few guys who know. They thought they'd go for the dirt, but I think they're now thinking more of a turf campaign. So, yeah, be interesting wherever he runs. They're really looking forward to the rest of summer and him in mind.
Yeah, wait and see. The Eclipse or the Irish Derby are on the mind. We might find that out in the next couple of weeks where he's going to be end up going. And there was some competitive racing, competitive handicaps, and Ed Nicholson picking out a 10-1 winner in Blue Storm last week as well. Hopefully, he's in the same form once again. We've got Haydock and Beverly on the ITV cards this weekend. Some competitive Group 3s from Haydock and some interesting two-year-old races from Beverly to get stuck into. But we start off at Haydock with the 150 there, which is the Achilles Stakes, a listed race over 5 furlongs, where Living the Dream is the current market leader of Unibet at the time of recording it. Even Money, Believing's 9-2, Comanche Falls is 7-1, Corker's 15-2, Democracy Dilemma is 9-1, Marshman 14s, Pink Crystal 14s, and T-Spirit, the outside of the lot, at 33-1. Robbie Wilders, I'll come to you first. How are you, sir?
Yes, mate, keeping well. Yourself?
Yes, I'm doing very well. This favourite, Living the Dream here, we know what he can do, and we're expecting him to probably end up in the Breeders' Cup once again later on the season. But this is a fairly, would you say, a weak contest that he should be winning?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's definitely weaker than the Temple Stakes he ran in last time. Thought that was an excellent return in the Temple. He was the early favourite when the prices were first chalked up, but ended up going off about 8-1 in the end. Big market drift, but still almost got the job done on ground that probably wouldn't have been perfect for him. It was quite soft at Haydock that day. I thought that was a really good return. He's going to should be fitter for that as well 2 weeks later. He's not even been given an entry at Royal Ascot. Doesn't want sort of testing a stiff 5 furlongs at Ascot has in the King Charles III. So he's going to be going here. Then he's going to run the Coral Charge, building back to the Breeders' Cup, as you say. But yeah, I think he's just got too much in hand there. Believing it would be the second form choice, but her best form's at 6. Fast enough 5 at Haydock. I think Living the Dream is absolutely a better around anything odds against.
Okay, one vote for the favourite then. Graham Robway, great weekend with you last weekend at Epsom. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I had a great weekend at Epsom, Sam. Really enjoyable, wasn't it? Great to see a star performance from City of Troy. It was a real privilege to be there to see that. And hopefully we're going to get a star performance here from Living the Dream. I agree with Robbie. I think that anything above evens is buying money. I mean, he's just better than these, and he's a very fine five furlong performer. This sort of track will suit him well. The ground has come right for him. He's stripped fitter for that first run back in a probably stronger race than this. And I think it'll be a disappointment if he can't build on that reappearance and take this easily, Sam.
Okay, two votes for Living the Dream then. It might be an obvious one this week, Ed Nicholson, but this could be the hat-trick horse. Who are you with?
Yeah, it's the hat-trick. Living the Dream looks just a class act in this field, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Top-rated horse. He's got the form in the book, the fourth in the Breeders' Cup turf last year, and also the Nunthorpe. And he, as I said already in this analysis, he came back really strong over course and distance on ground that wouldn't have played to his strengths, although he has got form in soft, and ran really well. Second, I watched the video a few times this morning, and he definitely quickened the game when that horse joined him. So it wasn't as if he wasn't getting involved in the battle. And the trainer said that he was delighted with that performance. So I think it's all systems go. Living the Dream is a selection. This is the Achilles race, isn't it? That's the title of the race, the Achilles. And it's quite interesting because if there's one horse that I would like to have taken him on with, it's Corker, but he has an Achilles heel, and that's he misses his break. If he could get his break right, Corker could go quite close, I think, and I backed him a few times, and then he just has a habit of missing the break. So Corker would be an interesting alternative to me if he can get the break right at around about 8-1, but living the dream, odds on favourite to crack us all up with a winner in the opening race.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I think Living the Dream's a great favourite here as well, but one to watch out for each way there is Corker. Let's move on then to the 225. This is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a half, and Maglack is currently topping the market, Unibet 7-2. Davina Grace is 4-1. Knightswood 5-1. Iron Lion is 11-2. Max Mayhem and Mountain Road 15-2. And double figures about the rest of the field. Ed Nicholson, I'm going to come to you here. Any offers in this race?
Yeah, we're offering a super boost, which is where you decide which horse you want to boost from 9 o'clock on Saturday. That will be available. It's an interesting race, this. I kind of struggled to find a selection at first. I don't like the favourite. I think he disappointed last time for me. Graham was slightly soft, I know, but he might be better on the better ground. But my mind was taken to Knightswood. Joe Fanning for Charlie Johnson. He's an improving five-year-old. And these sort of horses with the Johnson camp over the years keep on finding their form and winning their races. But this horse is improving. He's got an improving profile. Last time out of Doncaster, thought he ran well. I don't think the early pace, which wasn't generous, didn't suit him. He stayed on in the closing stages. If you look where he was two out and look where he finished, you wouldn't have thought he'd have got as close as that. And he didn't have the best of passages either. I'm not saying he would have won because he wouldn't have done. But I think he's a horse that would probably appreciate a better gallop over this distance. And I think he's got it in him. The form before that at Newmarket, although disappointing, I think was still okay, given that they sent him there to run in that race. And before that, ran really well on seasonal debut. So, yeah, I think Knightswood's a decent shout in what is a competitive race.
Okay, Knightswood 5-1 currently. Remember, the super boost will be available with Unibet as well in this race, the 225 at Haydock. Graham Robway, to you then, a competitive handicap to get stuck into over a mile and a half. Who'd you like?
Yeah, it's a really, really competitive one, isn't it, Sam? And the one that I like is Davina Grace for Ray Guest. He does well with fillies like this does Ray, and this one really improved last season on fast ground. Won a couple of races back to back at Bath, and I was there at Newmarket when she won. And then Mia returned with another career best effort, first time out at Goodwood. When again, I'm not sure the ground would have been absolutely to her liking. She definitely wants it on the faster side of good. I think it's going to be like that at Haydock. Well, I'm working on that assumption anyway. You never quite know a Haydock, do you? But yeah, the weather's played ball, hasn't it? And I think she'll improve significantly for that third at Goodwood on her reappearance. When she hung a little bit, looked like maybe she wasn't totally in love with the track there. This more conventional venue will definitely suit her. She's £1 higher. But if she takes another step forward, I think she'll be difficult to beat. So Davina Grace for me, Sam.
Okay, Davina Grace for Graham Robway. And Robbie Wilder's 225 at Haydock. Who are you going to be with?
Yeah, I actually do quite like Maglack here, Sam. He's slightly shorter than I thought he would be at the start of the week, but I still think he's probably fair enough at around 4-1. Basically, he's very unexposed. He's seriously well-bred as well. He's a half-brother to Mutta Sabek and a couple of other solid Group 2 performers, but we've only seen him 7 times. He's a good winner at Goodwood on his return, but nothing went to plan at Redcar last time. He was at a drawn-out wide, had a very wide trip throughout the first part of the race, then dropped completely back to the rear. Jim Connor Beasley, it was, took him right back. And then he was seen staying on again in the final furlong. I think it's an effort to ignore. He's got the blinkers on for the first time. That could easily make a difference. And I'm not overly concerned by an extra 2 furlongs. I know he's by Muhara, the champion sprinter, but for some reason, most of Muhara's best horses seem to be sort of mile and a half horses and stayers. So I wouldn't have to worry about the trip. Getting on slightly faster ground should suit as well. And I think he's the one that could be potentially quite well handicapped off 89.
Okay, we had a hat-trick of selections in the first race. Three panellists selecting the same horse. This time, three different selections. Knightswood for Ed Nicholson, Davina Grace for Graham Robway, and Maglack for Robbie Wilders. On to the 3 o'clock then. And this is a Group 3 contest. It's the Leicester Piggott Filly Stakes over at a mile and a half, but this is just as open. Miskantic 5-1 and 6-1 about Night Sparkle, Sapphire Seas and Sea Theme. Madame Ambassador's 15-2, Queen of the Pride 8-1, 9-1 about Carnarvon, Ladybow were bigger the rest. Graham Robway, I'm going to come to you here. This is extremely competitive for a Group 3 contest. You can make a case for quite a few of these.
Yeah, you certainly can, Sam. And it's quite a fascinating mix between like improvers and real class horses who maybe haven't shown their best for a while. But we saw last Saturday, didn't we, when we were at Epsom, Royal Scotsman bounce back from absolutely nowhere and show his class when he was dropped significantly in grade. And I wonder if the same might happen here with Carnarvon, who is just better than these if she can show her best form. You know, she was, I think, fourth in the 1,000 guineas last year. She was third in the Oaks. She was fifth in the Nassau, really close up in all those Group 1 races. Now, she looks like she's completely lost the plot on her last few starts. But, I mean, she definitely didn't want a mile and one furlong on her reappearance in Group 2 company at Newmarket. She definitely wants further than that. Last time out, she was absolutely atrocious, but that was behind Blue Stocking in, you know, in a hot Group 2. As I say, I mean, this is only a Group 3 contest. If she can bounce back to the sort of form she showed last season when she was running well in those Group 1s, she'll be far too good for these. And you're not being asked to take a short price about her, are you? I mean, you're being asked to take fairly long odds on what I think is the class act in the field. So I know that you got to chance your arm sometimes, and this is a big one because she was beaten 57 lengths last time. But we saw it happen twice last week with Royal Scotsman and, of course, Cedar Troy himself. So I'm going to give it a go. Carnarvon for me.
Yeah, 9-1, a potential each way price. And we'll find out whether we can get some extra plays from Ed Nicholson in just a second. But this horse was right at the top of my shortlist to potentially be a nap this week. And I did see a little smirk from Ed Nicholson as well when you mentioned Carnarvon, which makes me think he might have be a little bit sweet on this one.
Yeah, she's my selection as well. I said last week, me and Graham seem to have similar thinking, which is slightly worrying. But Carnarvon was the one for me. It's exactly the same. I've written almost exactly what he said. She had danced at all the big festivals last year, starting off the Guineas, the Oaks, and she had two runs this year. And quite rightly, Graham, there was a reason why she didn't perform as well in each of them. So everything that Graham said is what I thought, and you're getting double figure odds, basically, aren't you? 10-1, which is a bit like Blue Storm last week. There were the reasons that I thought he was a better price alternative to a horse that just finished in front of him, who was half the price. And it's the same here. She shouldn't be 10s or 12s. Maybe she's 9 with us at the moment. But the only other thing I would add to Graham is the stables in form. Jack Shannon, 16, his last 16 runners, 9 have won or been placed in the last 14 days. So, I think she's got a good chance. And I was contemplating putting her as my nap as well. I think she'll give you a good run for the money. You're right as well, Sam. It does have I wrote exactly what you said as well, has the feel of a top end handicap, not a Group 3. He's 5-1 the field. And we are going extra places because of that. So you can get extra places with Unibet in this race.
Looks a great each way bet, Carnarvon for the Shannon stable. And like I said, they are in really good form. Robbie Wilder, surely not. Is this horse on your list?
She was on my place pot radar, certainly. But I don't know, they're all a bit of a muchness, really, on the balance of their form. So I was going to, for that reason, go for something that's completely unexposed and already not actually that far off the best of these. That's Queen of the Pride, John Gosden runner. She's only run 3 times, but she's taken massive step forwards on RPRs each occasion. Put up an RPR 105 in a Lister race at Goodwin on a return. Thought she was ridden sort of quite tenderly enough in that. I thought it was eye-catching. I think she's going to be a little bit better on faster ground as well. Love her pedigree. She's by Roaring Lion out of Simple Verse, who was a Group 1 winner over a mile 4. I think this sort of long straight, I could see her keeping on very nicely. And in an open race, I'd take a chance that she might be a little bit better than these.
Okay, there we go. So there's the selections for the 3 o'clock. The final race we look at from Haydock on the ITV card is the 3:35. And this is the John O'Gaunt Stakes, a group three over 7 furlongs. And currently we've got 4-1 favourite as Witch Hunter, Pogo's 11-2, Flight Plan and Noble Dynasty, along with Tiber Flow 6-1. Ramazan is 15-2, Jumbie 12-1. Point Linus is 12-1. Bigger the rest in here. We could mention Ramazan, the form of Richard Fahey. I'm sure that will come at some point in this week's show. He's on an absolutely fine run of form. But Robbie, I'll come to you first with regards to Witch Hunter, who do we think has the best form in the race with the third at Newbury, obviously, in the lock-in. It's turned out to be a fairly good race, looking at Royal Scotsman coming out and when he finished ninth that day. Whether that was just Royal Scotsman not as his best, we don't know. But looking at the form of that race, surely Witch Hunter's top of the pick.
Yeah, he is top of the pile. You'd have to say he's the right favourite, but he is beatable. He doesn't win often. And this is actually a much deeper John of Gaunt than you normally see. This often cuts up to sort of 5, 6, 7 runners. But we've got 12 here, and we've got a lot of horses with a fairly decent chance. Respect Witch Hunter, but I'd probably want something at slightly juicier odds. I was interested by Tiber Flow at the start of the week. He's been declared now, but I don't know. That he was really strong in the market in the Duke of York Stakes last time, but he came down and it looked a really nasty fall. I don't know how much of a mark that might have left. He'll be better over 7, I'm sure of that. He's been mainly sprinting over 6. But I don't know. I just think Ramazan, like you mentioned at the start, with Richard Fahey's stable form and the fact that he's just looks like he's on a sharp upward curve at the moment. I mean, he was given a pound to Wizard of Eye when second in the Victoria Cup. I think that was a top handicap performance, really. Wizard of Eye is going to have a chance in the Group 1 at Royal Ascot over 6 on his next start. He was best of the horses up the pace that day. Even his previous runner's return on ground that might have been too soft for him at first. That was behind Shartash, another contender at Royal Ascot for that Group 1. He was giving Shartash £4 there. Just think he's definitely a group performer. He's on the up, career best RPR last time, 1 from 1 at Haydock, and the Fahey Yard in banging form. I think Ramazan is a pretty decent intro player.
There we go. There's the vote for the Richard Fahey runner Ramazan from Robbie Wilder. Ed Nicholson, for you in the final race, we look at from Haydock, the 3:35.
I've got a strong fancy here. I'm going to stick with Pogo, who has got a good form at Haydock. Won this race a couple of years ago, I seem to remember. And Kieran Schumacher, I think, rode in that day, and is I backed him that day actually, and I remember it well. He won by nose, and I was jumping up and down like you do on a pogo stick close home, because his margin of victory was getting less and less and less, and he just managed to hold on. But he's run well since. He came second last time here at Haydock, and that links in very well with the former Witch Hunter. Witch Hunter was behind him by 2.25 lengths, obviously running off the same weights. So if you fancy Witch Hunter, you've got to fancy Pogo. Pogo loves Haydock. If he can get a run on the front with Kieran Schumacher, it's drawn 4, so there's every chance. There's a few horses that need to be held up. You've got to go close. He's in form. He's not badly rated in terms of when you look at the horses. He's 109, a couple of horses in 110, but the 113 horse in the race as well. But he's there or thereabouts. And the horse that he came second to at Haydock last time out, where he beat Witch Hunter, is entered in 2 Group 1 contests and up and coming, in which he's only 10-1 to win at Royal Ascot. So it was a good performance that race when he went down by a neck. So Pogo's in form at a track and a distance that he loves, and at a time of year that he's won at before. So Pogo would be my selection.
Okay, strong fancy from Ed Nicholson. Then Pogo in the 3:35. Graham Robway, you're going to finish off at Haydock. Who'd you like?
I fancy Noble Dynasty here, Sam. I thought he was very impressive when he won off a break at Newmarket first time up. He absolutely pulverised them from the front. They didn't get anywhere near him. He was carrying a big weight. And the second was English Oak, who came out and absolutely hacked up in a handicap here next time at Haydock, and recorded a Racing Post rating of 107, which was £11 higher than when he was behind Noble Dynasty. So the form got a huge boost there. This has always been a good horse. He's related to Barney Roy. He's won 6 of his 12 starts. He's always been on the fringes of group class, but he looks like he's ready to get there now. He's very lightly raced for a six-year-old. Pat Dobbs is quite an interesting one. I saw he's had a couple of rides for Godolphin recently, and this weekend he's got some big ones for Charlie Appleby at Haydock, and this looks like the pick of them. So I'm with Noble Dynasty.
Okay, Noble Dynasty to finish us off at Haydock in our final, our first part of the show, sorry. So we're going to be moving on to Beverley for a couple of interesting two-year-old races in a competitive handicap shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Before we get into the action at Beverley, I thought I'd mention our Royal Ascot Postcast, just when that'll be. It's going to come to your Monday morning. The panel we have here, Graham Robway, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson, will be joining me for a top 5 bets for the week ahead video. That's going to be out at 11 a.m. on Royal Ascot Week. Do look out for that. Really looking forward to that show. We did it for Cheltenham and you absolutely loved it. So yeah, we will bring that to you the Monday of Royal Ascot. But let's carry on with this week's show. And we head to Beverley now for a couple of interesting two-year-old races. Like I say, the 205 is the first. It's the Hillary Nieder Trophy EBF Fillies Condition Stakes over 5 furlongs for the two-year-olds. And More Lawn is the 9-2 favourite currently. Mademoiselle and Storm Call 15-2, 17-2 about Brazilian Bell and Larchill last 9-1 about Aviation Time over Spice and Powerful Lady and double figures about the rest in here. There's not much we can go on really, Ed Nicholson, is there, with regards to a race like this? It's going to be on the breeding and potentially an impressive eye-catching run last time out. Who do you like in the 205?
I just say that before I start, I agree with you. It's very difficult to have any real commitment to a filly here because some of the ones that towards the front end of the market only had one race, and it's based upon what they might do in the future. But it's a competitive race. We're going money back second or third in this, which you don't normally do for a race like this. Going back, I know I spoke to Graham at Epsom. He loves when I talk about the old days, so I'm going to talk about the old days again. This used to be an amazing race. This used to be a listed race between 2001 and 2013. And one of my favourite fillies won this race, Attraction, in 2003. And she went on to win the Queen Mary that year and the Guineas and the Irish Guineas and the she won everything. Coronation Cup, I think, Sky Stakes next year. They're not as good as her now. The last two winners have run at Royal Ascot, but they've finished 22nd in the Windsor Castle and 9th in the Queen Mary. So since it's lost its list estate, it's not as good a race. Having said that, it's got to be a winner. The ground at the moment is good. I don't know if anyone's looked at the weather apps, but I was hoping that it might be a little bit on the soft side for this particular selection, although I've got a selection in the next race that needs it on the fast side. But I'm going to go with Larchill Lass. Just had a couple of runs at Beverley already, a couple of seconds, both times improved upon the one before. And then last time ran out a ready winner at Carlisle, another track where there's an uphill finish. But I think all three runs have had a bit of juice in the ground, so that would be slightly worrying if it was on the far side. But it's down as good at the moment. And she sets a fair standard of form. Carl Burt, the trainer, knows the time of day with these two-year-olds. And I thought she was a fair selection. But it really is a stab in the dark. You just don't know. What she's shown so far is good. She's progressing and she's got a chance in an open race.
Yeah, Nick Bradley, the owner, they do so well with their two-year-olds, don't they? The owner, Nick Bradley, sees so many two-year-old winners come out as them as owners. Graham Robb, are you happy with the racing history lesson from Ed Nicholson there?
Yeah, always great when Ed takes us down memory lane. One of the highlights of my Thursday, that is. Yeah, it's great. It's a difficult race, isn't it, Sam? As you and Ed have said, there's an element of guessing, isn't there, going on here, because we just don't know how good a lot of these fillies are. They haven't run very much, have they? So I'm going to take a chance on Powerful Lady. who ran in quite a valuable maiden at Cork first time out in comparison to the, some of the maidens that some of these ran in. The race has worked out well. The second and third have won since. Powerful Lady was really, really green. Only got beaten 3/4 of a length. Natalia Lupini's bringing her over from Ireland. She had a couple of runners at Royal Ascot last year from memory. Didn't pull up any trees, but I'm going to take a chance on Powerful Lady and what really you could say any of them could win, couldn't they?
Okay, two good prices there. 17-2 about Ed's selection, Larcher Lass, and 9-1 about Powerful Lady with Unibet currently. Robbie Wilders, any strong case in a race like this?
Yeah, I don't think you can be very much, as the fellas have touched upon. We've got very precious little form to work with. Just watching Matt the replays of a lot of these. The most impressive victory for me was with Moore Lamb, who beat the re-opposing Mademoiselle, I thought, quite easily. She sort of missed the break a bit that day, then made quite a decent move midway through the race to be up there. And I thought she was just dossing around in front, really. The horse who she beat was a hot favourite, trained by George Scott, and had already had a run. So I think she's got quite a lot of potential and is probably pretty fair at 5-1. But we don't really know what we're dealing with, do we?
Okay, there we go. They're the very tentative selections from all the panel there in the 205. Moving on to the 240. We've got a smaller field here for the two-year-old trophy condition stakes. Again, over 5 furlongs for the two-year-olds. And Shareholder is the 6-4 favourite. Moving Force is 5-2. Regal Gem, 4-1. JM Gingri is 7-1. Rajatiriat is 9-1. And Horus is 22-1. Now, I, before the show, thought to myself, how many of these are going to put up moving forth just on the basis of Richard Fahey's form and the fact that this horse has had a run? Graham Robway, would that be the case?
Not for me, Sam, no. Yeah, I mean, obviously, beat Nadal Sheba Snow, who also runs on the card in the previous race that we just spoke about, the fillies race, first time out. And as you say, Richard Fahey has got a decent record in the race. There's been a bit of money for Moving Force as well. But there's also been a bit of money for Regal Gem. And that caught my eye because there was money for Regal Gem first time out as well. Like they thought that he was quite useful. And he did it well at Pontefract in a maiden race. There's 16 runners in that Pontefract maiden that he won. So it wasn't a weak maiden by any stretch of the imagination. And he did quite well. And I think it's worth taking a chance on him. Not a lot has come out of the race, so it's hard to gauge how good the form is. But certainly someone somewhere likes him because he was well back last time and the money's coming for him again, Sam.
Okay, Regal Gem then for Graham Robway. Ed Nixon's on his travels for a second there. Robbie Wilders, for you in the 240, who are you with?
Yeah, I agree with Rodders. Regal Gem. Thought it might be the type to be a bit underestimated because of his connections, but he actually recorded a superior top three figure to Moving Force on his debut at Pontefract. Did it the hard way from the front as well. I thought that was impressive. He's going to have no problem with the sort of stiff finish at Beverley. Obviously, respect Moving Force a lot, trained by Fahey, because he's obviously got a good record in this race. But, I mean, it's interesting the money has come from Regal Gem in the last few hours. I thought he might be a bit bigger. But you'd have to respect it, certainly. I thought he won his debut really impressively. So, Regal Gem for me.
And 240 at Beverley for Mr. Ed Nixon. Looks like you've been travelling around the office to get a different seat there. I don't know if you've been doing that, Ed, or asking everyone around the office who's going to win the 240. Because, like we say, it's a bit of a guess-up.
It is a guess-up. I'm interested in the Wethnam Racing unraced horse, who's at 6-4, €460,000 from a sale just less than a month ago. And we know they've been buying horses left, right and centre with Royal Ascot in mind. So you'd think they're running here as one of the last chances before a run at Royal Ascot. But he's 6-4 based upon his connections, isn't he? And how much they paid for him. I'm going to go for the form horse in the race, I think the form horse, and that's Moving Force, who won at debut over course and distance at Beverley on the 14th of May on good to firm ground. So this was the other one I was talking about, where faster ground would be better for my selection rather than soft. Whenever Richard Fahey has a first-time-out two-year-old, I'll take note, because he hasn't actually got the best of records. He's 12% first-time-out strike rate with a two-year-old since 1997. He's actually got better second-time and third-time percentages. And this horse won well last time, despite being really green. And Richard Fahey does well this race. He had the winner of this race last year. And guess what? That horse won the race that Moving Force won
previous. So he's following the same footsteps as last year's Bombay Bazaar. And I just thought, given that we know the form, we know what level he is, it was worth a small selection. Obviously, the favourite could be anything. And, you know, you'd expect maybe for him to be Royal Ascot class. But we haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to go with what I've seen. That's Moving Force.
Okay, Rich Farr, he's run a Moving Force, Fred Nixon. Then moving on to the final race we look at on the ITV card, the 3:15 at Beverley is a handicap just shy of a mile here. Class 4 event where Trope Power is 4-1. On the River is 11-2. Zafire 6-1. Illegible 15-2. Broken Spear 9-1. Waiting All Night and Billy B 10-1. And 11-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. We've got extra places here, Ed Nicholson. Who's going to be your final selection?
Yeah, I love a course and distance winner for Beverley in these handicap races. There's four of them in this contest, and I'm going for On the River, who's a progressive sort, highest rating of 82 today, but loves Beverley. He's run a number of times at the course and won on a couple of occasions, been placed so many other times as well. I thought On the River's got a lot going for him at the age of five. He's won all sorts of ground as well. He's won on good, soft and heavy. He loves the 7.5 furlong trip, especially at Beverley. So that was going to be my selection. I've got to give a mention to Fool's Rush In. He has got to be winning a race soon. I don't think this is his track. He's won at speed tracks like Chester and flat tracks like Kempton. He used to be owned by a friend of mine. They sold him, and we all thought this ought to be running in races like the Air Gold Cup, but he's regressed. He's now rating 73. He won off 95, I think, only a year and a half ago. So Fool's Rush In would be a horse to follow with that rating. But I'm a bit worried about the uphill finish here. So I'm going to go for a course and distance winner On the River.
Okay, top weight Fred Nixon then On the River, currently 11-2, and extra places available, like I say, with Unibet in this race. Robbie Wilders then, extra places, are they going to be needed here for a solid each way selection?
I think so, mate. Yeah, you've always got to take advantage of these extra places. The one I like is Zafire for Julie Camacho. Basically recorded a career high RPR when she ran at Beverley and her maiden in June. Still very lightly raced, only raced six times, but she was very eye-catching on her return at Newcastle. I thought over seven, just hit a wall of horses. Was travelling really nicely. A rider just couldn't move a muscle. It was a complete non-event. She's off the same mark for that. She's getting back to Beverley, which is absolutely not going to be an issue. And sort of go back to her Haydock handicap debut victory. That race has worked out really strongly. So I think she'll give punters a fair run for their money. Zafire.
Okay, Zafire for Robbie Wilders. And Graham Rodway, you're going to finish us off here. Who's going to be winning the handicap on the card at Beverley?
I'm going for Illegible here, Sam. Ran in the race that he won last year at York's Ebor meeting last time out. Was quite an eye-catcher. Didn't get the clearest of runs that day. It was a much stronger race than this one. And he was only beaten about four odd lengths into midfield somewhere, but I remember thinking that, you know, he might well have gone a bit closer with a clear run, and he's actually been dropped £2 in the weights for what was a perfectly good effort in a better race than this. So I'm with Illegible for Mick and David Easterby.
Okay, three different selections to finish things off at Beverley. So that's it for the ITV racing preview. We're gonna be back shortly after this with any other bets for the weekend and our weekend naps. Royal Ascot is fast approaching, and Racing Post Members Club is the best place to be ahead of the Royal Meeting. Get exclusive tips, access to the digital newspaper, race analysis and replays, and much more. And currently ahead of Royal Ascot, you can get access to Racing Post Members Club for just £10 a month for the first 3 months. Use code SUMMER24 to get access. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, Graham Rodway, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson taking you through the weekend action. Now on to the Any Other Bets segment of the show. Graham Rodway, is there anything else to look out for away from the ITV cameras this weekend?
Just one for me, Sam. Yeah, in the 4:10, I think it is. Yeah, 4:10, Haydock, Kindest Nation. Is a horse that I backed on Brigadier Gerard night when I was at Sandown a couple of weeks ago. She ran an absolute stormer there to finish third in quite a competitive race. She'd previously finished third at Beverley, again, catching the eye with a strong finish. And I think that she'll be lined up for this race because Hugo Palmer trains her. And of course, he loves a winner at Haydock, one of his local tracks, isn't it? And he's booked Oisin Murphy, no less, to ride. So everything looks there from a good draw, stall free, over 7 furlongs at Haydock for Kindest Nation to get her head back in front.
Hey, Hugo Palmer and Oisin Murphy, Kindness Nation. That's the 4:10 at Haydock on Saturday for Graham Robway. Robbie Wilder, is anything else for you this weekend?
Yes, mate. Like another one in that race, Big Bertie Bassett. This horse was second to Rosalian on his debut at Newbury last season. He then won his novice, really impressive at Doncaster, and then he was thrown into the Paddery Stakes. That was a ridiculously hot race last year. He was out of class there. But he's in handicaps off a pretty decent mark. He moved from Dascombe to William Muir at the start of the season. And he was quite an eye-catching four for Ascot in a race that usually works out very well. It's a top three-year-old handicap. Docklands won it before winning off a stone high at Royal Ascot in the Britannia. Big Bertie Bassett was first in his group. He was just the wrong side, essentially. He's off the same mark. There's no reason he won't be fitter with that run behind him. And yeah, I think he's probably quite well treated off 78.
Okay, Big Bertie Bassett. There's two to look out for in that race then. They're at Haydock. So that's the Any Other Bet segment. Ed, is there any other offers that you want to mention this weekend? Always head to unibet.co.uk for all the offers.
Yeah, unibet.co.uk for all the offers. We're also just about to put out the Richard Hannon Royal Ascot content special. We went to his stables early this week, got there ridiculously early to go for the first lot, and some interesting stories as well as some interesting sound bites about Richard Hannon. He says he hasn't got a great record at Royal Ascot, but he says he's going to get better this week because he's got some really good horses, including Rosalian, and we all know about Hatam and where that's going now. That's going to the Jersey Stakes, as we suggested in last week's podcast. So, yeah, I think it's well worth watching. That will drop in the next couple of days over the weekend.
Yeah, look forward to that, hearing what Richard Hannon's thoughts are. I did say as soon as Hartem dropped to 7, I'll be backing this horse. There might be a spoiler alert. I'll be fancying this on Royal Ascot week, maybe in my top 5 bets. But we'll have to wait and see. Right, time for the best bets this weekend then. Who are the panel fancying strongly on the ITV card this weekend? I'll kick things off in the opening race at Haydock. We all fancied him. It's a short price, but I'm going to put up Living the Dream. I think he should be winning this. I think it's a much easier race that he's going to be contesting later down the line and see. And he's an even money shot, but I'll be taking Living the Dream that the whole panel was strong on. Robbie Wilder is your best bet this weekend.
Do you know, I was tempted to do that, but you've done it anyway. I'm going to go for the following race, 2:25 at Haydock. Maglark for Charlie Hills. Yeah, love the pedigree. Think the extra 2 furlongs going to suit. Should go well.
Okay, Maglack for Robbie Wilders. Graham Rodway.
I'm going to go with Carnarvon, Sam. I was pleased to hear that we're all pretty sweet on Carnarvon, and she's a good price. So Carnarvon to bounce back.
Carnarvon. So we've gone through the 150, the 225 and the 3 o'clock at Haydock. And Ed Nixon finishes off.
Yeah, I'm going to jump on Pogo to win the John O'Gaunt Stakes, win it again, having won it a couple of years ago. Loves the track. Hopefully we'll get an uncontested lead. And if he does, he'll have to go close. Good form as well lately. He's in the form of his life. And I think Pogo's quite a good price to land the nap.
There we go. So there's our weekend naps on screen now. A nice Haydock Lucky 15 on the ITV card there as well. As always, do gamble responsibly. But these will be boosted at the time of the upload of this video and podcast. So you can head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of our naps there. And that's it for this week's show. Just quickly, as always, spin through the panel. Who knows what they're up to this weekend, whether they're working or not. Robbie Wilders, I'll start with you. What's the plans this weekend?
Yeah, I think I'm I don't know, the weather's meant to be all right, isn't it? I was gonna go do a bit of sunbathing in London Fields, but we'll have to reassess potentially. There's no real like sport on tomorrow. It's a bit annoying apart from the racing, so pretty low key. What about you, Sam?
I haven't got too much on. I'm going to be heading to Goodwood on Friday evening. I'm looking forward to the All Apprentice card there. Hopefully Graham Rodway's got a couple of tips for me there. Looking forward to hearing them. But Craig David on after racing. I think Goodwood have got a sellout crowd there. So looking forward to that on Friday. Graham Rodway, what are you up to on Friday? I spent the weekend with you last weekend. I won't be this weekend. I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Yeah, love a bit of Craig David. Yeah, 7 days. I bet you'll enjoy that, won't you, Sam? Yeah, I've got a busy weekend of like barbecues and parties this weekend because, of course, it's the end of season presentation party for my son's like under eight team. So that's always one of the highlights, isn't it? You know, the little kids will be getting their trophies and we'll all be enjoying a barbecue on Saturday. And then Sunday, I've got everyone coming over. I've just got two new nieces and nephews, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. So, yeah, a family weekend for me, Sam. After spending it with you last week, I've got to spend some time with the family this weekend.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed the weather's good for that barbecue then. And yeah, I'm sure spending time with the family a lot better than spending a weekend with me, Graham Robway. Ed Nixon, for you, where are you? You on a racetrack or are you off this weekend?
I'm at Chepstow for Saturday evening for their country and western race night. There's plenty of country music. I'm going to learn how to do some line dancing. There's rodeo rides, there's tin can shooting, and all importantly, there's eight races. And I love the racing down there, and there's the old favourites are out in force. So yeah, could be a good night, hopefully, and hopefully I'll get some of those lessons in for the lion dancing.
So there we go. Ed Nixon's listening to country music this weekend, and I'm listening to Craig David. That's the weekend summed up for you just there. And that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to the panel, as always, Robbie Wilders, Graham Robway, and Unibet's Ed Nixon. We'll be back again next Thursday for another racing podcast. Do remember that we'll be back the Monday after that, the Monday of Royal Ascot, for our top five bets video with the panel you see here. So really looking forward to that. As always, do like, comment, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you again for another podcast.